This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com. So I have a few lessons that I think that we could learn from Sfira. And the first one I think is so appropriate for every single person here. Listen to this. Imagine you were Rabbi Akiva. Think about it. You had 24,000 Talmidim and they died. And in what period of time did they die? 33 days. There's a machlokes which 33 days. So if you do the math as I did, do you know what the average day brought to Rabbi Akiva? 727 Talmidim are dying every day. Imagine you're Rabbi Akiva. What's happening? A family says, Rebbe, come to Ashkelon. Your Talmud died. He just got engaged. Please come give a hesped. He finishes that hesped. Somebody says, Rebbe, you got to go to Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, this young Eloi, the one that you loved so much, he just died. Please come be Menachem Avil, give a hesped. And then as soon as he finishes, then, Rebbe, you got to come to Haifa. This was a Ben Yochid. He was the only child in the family, and he was a Talmud of yours, and he died. Over and over and over. 700 a day. Could you imagine, after a while, if you and I were Rabbi Akiva, we would say, okay, Hashem, I get the message. I'm not going to teach Torah. I'm out of here. Obviously, I did the wrong thing. Forget about it. I'm not going to teach Torah. I'll go into real estate. I'll go into, dental work. I don't know what I'll do, but I'm not going to teach Torah because obviously you're rejecting what I did, right? Wouldn't you say that? If Hashem took away 24,000 Talmidim, what does Rabbi Akiva do? You wouldn't believe. Listen to what the Medrash tells us. Rabbi Akiva takes a look, and he says that I realize now that I lost 24,000 Talmidim. Let's get Talmid Chachamim together. Tenu Datchem. Let us make up our minds. Shaloi Tasu Kemasei. We made a mistake, but we're not giving up. We don't give up. A Yid never gives up. We may have made a mistake. We didn't teach them properly to have covered one to the other. Now, we are going to teach the new Talmidim in such a way, and you know what? He took these five Talmid Chachamim, and there's a machlokes which ones they were, but the point is, Omdu Omolu Kol Eretz Yisrael Torah. He was so great in organizing and teaching once again that the whole Eretz Yisrael was filled with Torah. That's the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Samach Aleph Gimel, for those of you taking notes. What do we learn from over here? You never give up. Every one of us here tonight, everyone has made mistakes. Everyone went through a period of time, and we realize now, you know something? We had problems. We had problems, but we can't give up. If Rabbi Akiva didn't give up, we can't give up. And that's the first lesson. And I think that's the most important thing. No matter what matzav, no matter what situation you are in today, it can improve and it will improve. Emitz Hashem. But we have to be like Rabbi Akiva. We have to be determined. We can't be broken. We do all the things that we had to do, but we have to move on. That's the first thing. That's so important. And I'll tell you another thing. You know what Rabbi Akiva did? To me, it's amazing. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in Makkos tells us that one time they were walking, Rabbi Akiva was walking with a few Talmid Chachamim, they were walking in Yerushalayim. And when they came to the place of the Har HaBayis where the Beis HaMikdash was, there was a fox running around in that area where the Beis HaMikdash stood. And the Talmid Chachamim that were with Rabbi Akiva, they ripped their clothes. They say, look how sad this is. This is terrible. This is terrible. At the place of the Mikdash where we used to bring karbonis, now there's a fox running around. What a bazillion. It's terrible. So they started crying. For Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek, Rabbi Akiva was laughing. And they said, Rabbi, why are you laughing? This is such a sad scene. Why are you laughing? And listen to what he said. He said, why am I laughing? I don't understand why you guys are crying. He said, because the same Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the same Nevi'im that gave the prophecy that the Churban would happen, they also said this, They said in Zechariah Ches, Pasuk Dalet and Hey, there will come a time. Zikanim v'zikanos b'rechavos Yerushalayim. You're going to walk in Yerushalayim and you're going to see old men and old women. V'ish mishanta b'yodai m'roiv yamim. The old people, they'll be there. They'll have a cane that they're walking with. U'rechavos ha'ir yamala yaladim yaladim. It's going to be so many kids in Yerushalayim. And it's misachim b'rechavos said they're all going to be playing. Yerushalayim is going to be revived. So if the Navi said there's going to be a churban and that came true, so the Navi said this and this is going to come true. So don't cry, be happy. Because it shows that that which the Navi says comes true. So what do we see from over here? That Rabbi Akiva always had a positive attitude. And that's the first thing that we have to learn tonight. No matter what situation you are in, no how many years you've suffered being alone and waiting for that shidduch, and waiting for that person to make up their mind and dragging you for so long and then at the end saying, nah, I can't get married. We know there are people like that and we know that so many of you have gone through that. Can't give up. Don't give up. That's the first lesson of Rabbi Akiva. Here's the second thing. You know, did you ever wonder why is Sfira 49 days? Where does that number come from? Why not 39? Why not 59? Why not 25? Where does 49 come from? And the Bnei Yisrael tells us something very, very interesting. He said, Rabbi Yochanan Bar Zakkai was once sitting with his Talmidim, and he said to his Talmidim, please tell me, what do you think is the most important midah that a person should have? Every year should have this midah. What midah should it be? So one person said, Rebbe, I believe that a person should have an ayin toiv, a good eye. Don't be jealous. If you see somebody has something, be happy for them. Another one said, chover toiv, be a good friend. Everybody needs a good friend. And everybody, different Talmidim, was saying different things. Finally, Rabbi Shua said, Rabbi Lezer ben Aruch said, Rabbi, you know what I think? Lev toiv, a person should have a good heart. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, I want you to know what you said is so true because everything that everybody else said is all-inclusive in your words. Lev toiv, to have a good heart. And then he says an amazing thing. How much is lev equal? Somebody tell me.
32.
How much is toiv equal?
72.
How much is 32 and 17?
49.
There you go, 49. That's why it's 49 days. Because during this period of time, we are each supposed to gain for ourselves a lev toiv. To be a compassionate, kind person. And he says, that's derech eretz kodma l'torah. It's through these 49 days that we get that concerned heart, that lev toiv. We learn what it means to be sensitive to other people, to have derech eretz for other people. That's the derech eretz kodma l'torah. That's why it's 49 days. And if that's the case, I want to show you some stories. What does it mean when a person has a lev toiv? And I'm very proud to tell over this story. It should be a schus for this person as neshama. Those of you who knew him, almost everybody certainly heard of him. His name was Ronnie Greenwald. Ronnie Greenwald was one of the great people of our generation. Even though he may not have looked like it, he looked like a regular guy. But he was so involved in so many things, besides being involved with Sharansky, and besides being involved with his school that he had for girls in Muncie. He always used to say, it was called the Muncie Academy. It was a religious school for girls. The girls didn't want to be religious, and they didn't want to be in school, but they came to my religious school for girls. Somehow he was able to attract them, him and his wife. And he was involved with so many, many kids at risk. So he once told this remarkable story, and you'll see what a lev toiv is all about. He said when he started that school, the Muncie Academy, it was a girls' school, and his office was in the back someplace, on the other side of the building. And on the other side of the building, if you walked out from that side, there was a car service right next to the school, or right next to his office. And there were three Hasidic young guys who had left the yeshiva. Maybe they were 19, 20, and they were the drivers, some of the drivers of these cars, of this car service. Now, he knew really they should really be in yeshiva, But obviously they had been turned off for whatever reason. And so he would talk to them every once in a while because he would see them almost all the time. And, you know, Ronnie was a very, very easy guy. And one day he said to these three guys, how would you like to learn together? You know, we can learn, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day. What do you think? So he wasn't a threatening person. So they said, okay, fine. We'll learn with you. What do you want to learn? He said, whatever you want. You want to learn Chumash? We'll learn Chumash. So they figured, okay, they all know Chumash from Yeshiva. So every once in a while, they would sit down, and for 20 minutes, he would give them a little shiur. They would have into a discussion. And he tells the story like this. One day, he's learning with the Chassidish boys, and they're learning Parshas Vayechi. And it comes to the part where Yosef brings his children, Ephraim and Manasseh, he brings them to Yaakov, right? And the Pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael as b'nei Yosef. He saw the children of Yosef, Vayemen, he said, Mi'ela, who are these kids? So Mendy, one of the Chassidish boys, says, Ronnie, I once heard a great shot on this Pasuk. Well, I couldn't believe it. This kid obviously must have remembered something from when he went to yeshiva. He said, Mendy, what is it? Tell me. He said, you know, I heard a pshat on the give and take over here between Yaakov and Yosef. The Pasuk says that Yaakov says, Mi'ela, who are these kids? You know why he didn't recognize them? They were like from out of town. They were different. They didn't look like Yaakov's children from Reuven, Shimon, and Levi and their grandsons, because those grandchildren, they were raised near Yaakov. But these kids were raised in Mitzrayim. So what did Yaakov say? Oh, they look so different. Mi'ela, who are these kids? Vayomer Yosef, what does Yosef say? Bonayhem, they are my children. These are my children. These are your Einiklach. Asher nosan li'elekim b'zeh. Right? Then the Pasuk tells us an amazing thing. Ve'enei Yisrael kovdu mizoiken. Yaakov's eyes were heavy with age. La'yuchal lirais, he couldn't see. So now, this Mendy says, you know what I heard? Yaakov couldn't see these kids as really being part of his family. And he thought that these kids are so different. That's why he said, Mi'ela. So what did he do? Did he give them Musar? Did he yell at them? No. These were his grandchildren. You know what the Pasuk says? Vayagesh oisam. He brought them close to him. Vayishak lahem. Vayachabik lahem. He kissed them. He hugged them. He realized these are einiklach. These are children. You can't just throw away a kid because he looks different, because he acts different. These are Yosef's children. These are my grandchildren, no matter what they look like. Well, Ronnie said to Mendy, I cannot believe what you're saying. This is so beautiful. I have to speak this week, Ronnie said, at a Nefesh conference. A Nefesh conference is going to have psychologists and doctors that deal with all kinds of kids. They're coming from all over the world. I am going to quote you, Mendy. I'm going to tell over what Yaakov did to those children at risk, or what he thought they looked like at risk. Of course, they were tzaddikim, Ephraim, and Manasseh, but they looked different than Yaakov's children, and he still didn't send them away. He hugged them and he kissed them. He said, I'm going to quote you. Sure enough, that Shabbos, he goes to the Nefesh conference, and there's a fellow, Rabbi Pasternak, from Brazil, from São Paulo, Brazil. And he comes over to Ronnie, and he says, Ronnie, I want you to know, if I came from Brazil just to hear this shot in the Pasuk, how Yaakov treated those kids that looked different, it was worth the whole trip. You know what Ronnie says? Listen to me. I'm going to give you Mendy's number. When you go back to Brazil and you quote it, call him. How smart, how perceptive. And 2 weeks later, Mendy comes running into Ronnie's office. And he says, Ronnie, you will not believe a call that I got. I got a call all the way from Brazil. A guy told me, Rabbi Pasternak, he told me that you quoted me. And he quoted me in Brazil. And I can't believe it. Nobody ever did that to me before. He said, you know what? It's hard to believe what he said. I want to go back to yeshiva. Imagine that. Because somebody validated him. Somebody quoted him. Somebody didn't look at him as being so different. because he said a good pshat, so that's fine. He's a member of Klal Yisrael. Now, I don't know what happened to the boy at the end, but we see what does it mean when somebody has a leiv toiv. Not that he said to this fellow from Brazil, that's a great pshat, but they said, call Mendy. That's what it's all about, when a person is sensitive. I'll tell you another pshat. What is it? Not another story. What does it mean to be a leiv toiv? I heard this story recently. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, all of us know, was the Gadol HaDor in Eretz Yisrael. So this happened a couple days before Pesach. He says to his nephew, Rav Michal, he says, listen, after you finish burning the chametz, I want you to come to see me. Erev Yontif. And the nephew said, like, uncle, it's a very busy day. Maybe I could come before Bir Chametz, like a couple days. No. It's got to be only Erev Yontif. Okay, the Gadol HaDor, his uncle, wants him to come right after Bir Chametz, so he comes. He comes, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman has on his table 10 envelopes. They're all sealed, and they're all addressed already. And he says, I want you to go deliver this right now to these 10 different families. Now, this Michal was involved with many things in Eretz Yisrael, especially in Yerushalayim, and he saw right away, he knew some of the addresses, very poor areas, very poor people. He said, are you sure maybe I could give this to them, Chol HaMoed? No, I want you to give it to them today. I want you to go right now. But what's in it? I can't tell you. Just do what I tell you and have a good Yontif. Fine. So now Michal has no choice. The Gadol HaDor told him to go deliver these envelopes, and he comes into these houses, poverty-stricken, every single one of them. But the fourth person who he gave the envelope opened it up in front of him. He didn't want to ask anybody else to open it, but if the guy opened it up, he said, oh, wow, what's in there? So he takes out, he sees this, maybe 100 shkolim, $100 or whatever. But then there are tickets to the Gan HaChayot, to the Biblical Zoo. About 5 tickets. He can't believe this. What is Shlomo Zalman giving Erev Pesach tickets to the Gan HaChayot? Okay, he doesn't say anything because he's got to deliver the other envelopes. He goes to the next house and he's waiting around for the guy to open the envelope. The guy opens the envelope, again, like 100, 110 shkolim, and tickets to the Gan HaChayot. Well, not this he couldn't believe. Who's going to the Biblical Zoo Erev Yontif? What was the rush here? He says to himself, right after Yontif on Chol HaMoed in the morning, I'm going right to my uncle. I must figure this out. I must hear from him what this is all about. He goes to his uncle and listen to what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, listen, I know the kids of Yerushalayim. Many of them, these poor children, some of the poor families who have these children, they don't have any place to go on Chol HaMoed. They were all going to come to shul the first day Yontif, and everybody would be asking, oh, where are you going for Chol HaMoed? What trip is your family taking? And these poor kids would have nothing to say. So not only would it ruin their Simchas Yontif, they would go home and complain to their parents, how come they have no place to take them? It would ruin the parents' Simchas Yontif. So I wanted all these poor families to have tickets to the Gan HaChayot, because many, many people go there. Like this, those kids will also feel they have somebody. They also have a place to go. Do we ever think about that? We're thinking about our children. I'll tell you what I used to do. And it's not a bad idea if you do it, if you can do it. Every single time when we took a winter break, a winter vacation, my wife and I, we always took one of the kids in our children's class. Sometimes it was a boy, sometimes it was a girl, who we knew very well. They're never going down to Florida. Even though we went to Jacksonville to my mother-in-law. But these kids, they're never going to get an opportunity to go there. We once went to Boston during winter break. These parents, they could never afford to go to Boston. Another year, we went to the home wax, so we took another kid, another child. That was the time, remember, we were watching on TV when the Challenger, Nebuchadnezzar exploded. Something we can never forget. It was, I think, in January. But the point is, that's a thing to do. That's a sensitivity. If Hashem has blessed you with the opportunity that you could take your child to a vacation, think about somebody else. Do I have to tell you, somebody sitting here, who I'm very friendly with, how many times I took your nephew, Ron, took him on vacations and places. Ron had the bar mitzvah in our home, if you remember, with Rabbi Wein, Zal Zayin Gesund. Not every child has the opportunity that your child has. Part of being a Leif Toiv is being what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman did. And that was to go out and to be sensitive to other people. I'll tell you another thing. It's just incredible. You know, one of the saddest Gemaras is in Yevamah Samach Beis Amud Beis. It tells us, you know why 24,000 Talmidim died? Shalai Nogu Kovayt Zebezeh. Because they didn't give kavod one to the other. So I ask you, is that a reason to die? Everything that Hashem does is midah keneged midah. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't eat Yom Kippur. They didn't drive on Shabbos. So like, what were they dying for? Because they didn't give kavod one to the other? It always puzzled me, that Gemara. And you should know, anytime something puzzles you, just keep on thinking about it. Keep on reading about it. Keep on researching. Eventually you're going to find the answer. There's no such thing as not an answer. And then one day I saw the Maral. Oh my goodness. You see the Maral and it just opens up your eyes. And all of a sudden, everything makes sense. Listen to what the Maral says. On that Gemara, Yevamah Samach Beis. Kashanoyig kovid b'chaveiroi. When you give kovid to your friend, dover zeh hu etzem achayim. That's the essence of life. Imagine you walked in here tonight and not one person looked at you. And not one person said good evening. You would think, what do I need life? What do I need? What am I living for? Nobody cares about me. When you give honor, you make somebody feel special, you give them life. When you take away honor, you take away validation, you're taking away life. That's why they died. On their level, they should have been validating each other, giving cover to each other. But the Maral is saying, Kashanoyid covered b'chaveiroi dover zehu etzem achayim, that's the essence of life. I'll show you what it means when you make a child feel good. There was a fellow, his name was Rabbi Geltzeler, Rachmana Litzlani, was never killed in a bus accident in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Twersky from Milwaukee, son-in-law. But one time he had taken a group of Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael, and they were going from place to different tzaddikim to get brachas. And then it came to one place, they passed one place, and Rabbi Geltzeler remembered, oh wow, this is a Beis Olam, a Beis HaKfaris where there's a big tzaddik buried here. Let's go in, we'll all daven by his kever. It's a big schus to daven by the kever of tzaddikim. So all the kids get off the bus, and there's one kid sitting, he's not moving. So Rabbi Geltzeler went over to him and he said, how come you're not coming? He said, Rebbe, I'm a Kohen. I can't go to the Beis Olam. I can't go into a Beis HaKfaris. Listen to what Rabbi Geltzeler said to him on the spot. He said, oh, Yingala. He said, you know, today we're all going in and you're staying outside. When the Beis HaMikdash is here, you're going to go in to do the Avodah and we're going to be outside. What do you think that kid felt like? It was worth being a Kohen just for that. The Rebbe made him feel like $1 million. Right here, the kid felt isolated. I'm nothing. I can't go in. I'm a Kohen, right? Yeah, no, you're a Kohen. One day, you're going to do the Avodah for all of us. That's what a Leif Toiv is all about. You see somebody, you look for the good in a person. You make them feel special. You talk about their milas. That's what it's all about. I want to tell you another thing that is very, very precious to me. And the reason that it's so precious is because I just found out about this 2 days before Yontif. I have a dear cousin here, Rabbi Wiener. He and I go back many, many wonderful, wonderful years. So he knew my mother, Lasholin. So 2 days before Yontif, before Pesach, my nephew, Hudi Gutman, who is a Rebbe in one of the yeshivas in Edison, New Jersey, calls me up. He says, Uncle Pesach, I got to tell you something. I just taught something in the yeshiva, and now I understand something that your mother did. That was his Bubby. He says, that was Bubby did. I can't get over this. I must share it with you. I said, Hudi, what is it? He said, do you remember when your mother passed away? The last day of her life was the second day of Sukkot. Now, we didn't know it was going to be the last day of her life. She was never very, very sick already. And Hudi, who lived in Lakewood, was with her in Paul Kimball Hospital. So he tells me like this. He said, I was in the hospital with her. It took us in the morning, the second day. And I said to her, Bubby, would you like to make the bracha on the lulav and esrig? And she didn't answer. So I took the lulav and esrig and I put it in her hand and I put my fingers around her hands that were holding the lulav and esrig. I said, Bubby, let's make the bracha together. He said, I said the bracha. I don't know if she said it or not. And then we shook the lulav in all the directions. I just let her hands and we shook it. And then when we were finished, I wanted to take it away from her. But she held on to it tight. She wouldn't let go. And after like a few moments when I saw she didn't want to leave go, I moved my hands and I let her hold it herself. And then she took it, she brought it to her lips and she kissed the lulav, she kissed the esrig, and she gave it back to me. He said, I couldn't believe it. First, I thought that she wasn't lucid. But obviously, she wasn't maybe lucid to make the bracha, but she certainly was lucid enough to show how much she loved the mitzvah. And I never understood why she did it. He said, this year I was teaching in my class, and I came across this Be'er Heitev. You will never forget this. Listen to what the Be'er Heitev writes. In Siman Tov, Ayin Zayin, Sif Aleph. He writes like this. Kosav Shlo. The Shlo HaKadosh writes, Ra'isi, I saw, Mibnei Aliyah, the Hechera mentioned, the higher people, Shehayu Menashkin HaMatzais, at the Seder they would kiss the Matzais, V'hamorar, and the Morar. Did you hear anybody kiss the Morar after I heard this? This year I kissed the Morar for the first time. All my children and grandchildren, everybody's kissing the Morar, right? They kissed the Matzah and the Morar, V'chein Sukkah, and also the Sukkah, B'chni Sosa Yobitiyah. So when you go into the Sukkah, you kiss the Sukkah, when you go in, when you go out, V'chein Dalad Minim Sheba Lulav, and the Dalad Minim of the Lulav. V'akol, what is this all? L'chavoyv HaMitzvah, to show how much you love the mitzvah. V'ashrei Misha Oivir Hashem B'Simcha. Ah, it's wonderful, those people who serve Hashem B'Simcha. He says, now I understand why Bubby did it. She probably didn't even know the Shlo HaKadosh, but she had that love. She had that innate love for a mitzvah that she had to kiss it. And you know, I think that as we come to Shavuos, and all of us that have children and grandchildren, and even those who do not yet have children, now's the time to gain a love for a mitzvah. And when you have a love for a mitzvah and the children see it, then they're going to have a love for a mitzvah. Just like when my mother did this and I heard about it. So of course, you know, I'm telling all my children about it and my grandchildren. That's really what it's all about. So if I were to walk into your home tonight, now I know some of you, but I certainly don't know all of you. But tonight, when you walk into your house, walk in as if you were an outsider. Would anybody know this is an Orthodox home? Where are the Svarim? Are they buried someplace in a basement? Or are they still in cartons because you just moved in 2 years ago? You didn't get a chance to unpack, right? Where are the Chumashim? Where are the Sidurim? What's hanging on the walls? What's hanging on the walls? Pictures of Gedolim? Pictures of Yerushalayim? Now, I'm a big believer in sports, but I'll tell you where Kobe Bryant should hang. Not on your kid's wall. Absolutely not. No one. You know, I know that, you know, when Derek Jeter was playing, you know, for the Yankees, everybody was like so enamored. I'll never forget this. I was at a Yankee game. I don't know why I'm saying this, because it's going to go all over Torah anytime tomorrow. The whole world's going to know that I was a Yankee game, but who cares? There's a bunch of Hasidic guys. They were also at the game. They were holding up a big sign, Jews for Jeter. They will know what this means in Australia, but whatever. I just had to tell it to you. Right? So even if you like Derek Jeter, that's not a guy to hang up on the wall. You want to know what your family is all about tonight? Look at what's on the outside of your refrigerator. Not the inside. That's a different problem. But the outside. What do you got? The Met schedule? Or do you have the Sphere chart? Or Hadlokas Neiros? Pictures of children, grandchildren, that's wonderful. But where's the Yiddishkeit in the house? Do your children get a message by osmosis that I love mitzvahs? You know, I'm a big believer in having your own sitter bound, leather bound with your name on it. It's so geschmack to daven with your own sitter. And I'm a big believer in underlining things in a sitter. You hear a good shot in Ashrei or in Shemoneh Esrei, underline it. And every day this friend of yours is talking to you. And I have so many things underlined in my sitter, it's not for now. But the idea is the kids know, and I know, this is something special to me. This is a mitzvah that's special. So now the question is, what things do we do? Especially women. How should women prepare with love for mitzvahs and knowledge of mitzvahs? So I want to tell you something. I'm very proud to tell you this. I have a son. His name is Rabbi Eliezer Krohn. He's from Passaic. He teaches in numerous seminaries. He gives many shiurim for women. If you go on TorahAnytime.com, which is really one of the greatest organizations in Klal Yisrael, they have people learning over 1 million hours a year. You know what that means? 1 million hours a year of many, many people giving shiurim. But he has over 400 shiurim on halacha, especially for women. And I was listening to him the other day in the kosher kitchen. It's amazing what he can tell you about onions. You know, what knife to cut them, what knife not to cut them. And he goes through the shilas. For example, you're traveling with your kids, right? And you forgot to take dishes and you're in a Goyesha hotel. Are you allowed to use their bowls, you know, for cold cereal and milk? He'll give you the answer. So whether he's teaching about brachas, which every woman has to know about, and the 3 weeks, whether you could take a haircut, Hilcha Shabbos, all these type of things, tefillah, go on TorahAnytime.com, whether you listen to him or anybody else, while you're doing the dishes, while you're doing some computer work that doesn't really take a lot of mental concentration, have a shear in the back. And every man can do that. As you're driving, so many of us drive hundreds of miles a week. You get the app for TorahAnytime.com, you put it on in the car, you could hear the brilliant people, Rabbi Gladstein, or Rabbi Obama, or Rabbi Moshe Meir Weiss, this Kenayna Arbli Einhard, Klal Yisrael has so many. Eitan Feiner, do I have to tell you, is there anybody like Rabbi Feiner? Except that you probably fly out of the car, you know, when you listen to him because he's so excited about everything that he says. But these are things that we can grow with every day as we're doing things. It's one of the ways of preparing for the love of mitzvahs. I will never, ever forget. My father, Shalom, again, who you knew, and Ronnie also, you probably met my father. He knew your father as well from Forest Hills. Your father was the greatest Balkaira, I never forget. And Rabbi was before Rabbi Grunblatt, right? What was the name of the Rav? Rabbi Max, right. So, I remember that my father added a room to the house. And it was a flat roof. And you were able to go onto the roof from one of the rooms upstairs. But that was a very high elevation. So the shaila was, you have to build a makah. A makah means a fence. Now, how many people do that mitzvah? Asisa makah lagagecha. If you have a porch. But otherwise, how many people are going to build a fence? When you have like one floor up, you have an elevation where kids could go out. So my father just didn't hire somebody to build a fence. First, we all on Shabbos learned all the halachas and the Sefer HaChinuch about the importance of making a makkah and whether you're mechuyev to make a bracha or not. And finally, my father decided that we do have to make a bracha. And so he had somebody build a fence, except he put in the last post with the last nail. I still remember him sitting there. We all recorded it. We all took pictures of it. And he made the bracha. But when a father does that, or a mother bakes challah. We have a woman here, Rochelle, who bakes challah. You've never seen challah like that in your life. It's unbelievable. I've seen it at the Shabbatons. It's incredible. And I always say, when you bake challah, bake it with your kids. You're cooking for somebody for Shom Zachar, do it with your kids. You're packing for Torah Shabbos, do it with your kids. I'll tell you, when you make mitzvahs fun, they never forget it. It shows how much you love them. I'll tell you exactly what I used to do with Slichas. Right? How are you going to get the kids to go to Slichas? Right? 1 o'clock in the morning, Matzah Shabbos. Right? The week before Rosh Hashanah. Every year, they knew, after Slichas, we go to 7-Eleven for a Slurpee. Every year. I was so shocked this year. My son calls me up from Passaic. I said, where are you? He's calling like 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, Tom, what do you mean we're in 7-Eleven? We're having the, isn't that the family tradition? To get a Slurpee after Slichas? So of course now all his little kids, they're all going to Slichas. Why? Because that's Slichas and Slurpee, right? S&S, right? Not like in a shul that you all know, but of course I'm not going to say. I will never forget. You know which is the biggest Slichas of the year? Of course it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. So I had a bris in one shul. Again, I can't say what name it was, where it was. And the place was packed, right? It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. You got to get up like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And this father walks in with this 9-year-old kid who's like, he's punch drunk. Like, why was he woken up? And the whole time, the father's saying Slichas, and he's punching this kid and beating this kid. Like, because the kid couldn't say Slichas. How can he say Slichas? You know, he was in a different dream world. It took all my self-control to tell this father, what are you doing? You're going to make him hate Slichas. He'll become a kid at risk if you beat him like that when he's saying Slichas. What are you doing to him? But if you make a mitzvah fun, and now's the time, before Shavuos, you do things with your children, you do things with yourself to enhance your love for a mitzvah, of course, it's going to make a tremendous difference in all of them. And I'll tell you an amazing thing, you could repeat this, Shavuos at night at the table, men, women, whoever you're sitting with. It's such a beautiful question that Rav Aaron asked, and the answer is fabulous. He says, how come Shavuos, we have no zecher to Shavuos? Like, you know, Pesach, we eat matzah, moror, the afikoman, and sukkahs, we sit in the sukkah. How come we don't have anything for Shavuos? Okay, some people put up some grass, you know, for the Har Sinai. And he says, you know why? Because the other things, that happened a long time ago. But the Torah is alive every day. So we don't need a zecher of what happened at Har Sinai. Because the Torah and the mitzvahs are alive every single day. And if you daven that way and say brachas that way, and you learn that way, and you do it to your children and yourself, so of course the Torah is alive. So then you don't need all the different things. I just want to tell you one more thing about mitzvahs, and then we'll go to the next lesson that I think we should learn. I know this is an advertisement. I'm going to say it anyway, because those of you who don't know about this, and you still have children or grandchildren that are going to have bar mitzvah, you should take advantage of this. Right here, 10 blocks from here, on Coney Island Avenue, there is a wonderful place called Teferis Tam, run by a guy, Rabbi Heshi Pinkus. Now, if you get tefillin for your child or your grandchild there, what he does is that he gives a personal class and a personal exhibit to the child. He has different skins, and he shows how they take the skins off the animals and how they make parchment. And then he shows the various inks, and he shows the various pens, and he shows the various parshas. And you go with your child or your grandchild, and you sit there, and you are enamored. And of course, by the time the kid finishes, and he realizes this is where he's going to get his tefillin, the tefillin are very precious to him. It just didn't come out of a baitel. It just didn't come out of a package from Eretz Yisrael. He saw how tefillin are made. And then, of course, you take them for ice cream. It's also part of it. But the point is, all of a sudden, the mitzvah means something. And that's the hachana. That's what we have to do as we're getting ready for Kabbalah Satorah and Shavuos. I want to tell you now a different thing totally. When the Sfas Emes was Nifter, and I always tell the story when we go to Poland and we're by the cave of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes was nifty, he was only 58 years old. And when he passed away, so one of his children said to the other, he said, you know, at least our father had Arichas Yomim. So Arichas Yomim means length of days. So the other child said, Arichas Yomim, 58 is length of days? That's a short life. He said, I didn't say he had Arichas Yishonim. He had Arichas Yomim. There's a big difference between Arichas Shonim, length of years, and length of days. Every single one of us, none of us, can guarantee Arichas Shonim. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but every single one of us here can guarantee Arichas Yomim, that we have length of days. You make the most out of every day. That's what he meant about his father. That he made the most out of every day, and that's what we have to do. When we make our days count, we don't only count the days, you have to do something every day to make the day count. And I'm going to give you an idea tonight. We're going to institute a program. It's going to be all over the world. But here tonight at From Divorce, we're going to start this program. I'll show you something incredible. What does it mean to make every day count? That's what he was talking about. Arichas Yomim and not Arichas Shonim. And I'll tell you, you know, I am a mile. So the Syrians have a certain nigun that they sing at the bris. I want to read you the poetry. I'm not going to sing you the song. I can't sing, you know, like in Arabic. But I'll tell you this. Ben Adam, mankind, lama tidag al hadamim. Why are you worried about money? V'lay tidag al hayamim. And you're not worried about the days, your days. Ki hadamim einam oizrim. In the long run, money's not going to help you. V'hayamim einam choizrim. The days, they don't come back. Tomorrow's gone. Forget about it. Never again is it going to be yesterday. Redoif acha ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs. Run after Torah mitzvahs. Asher heim lo'ad kayamim. They exist eternally. And that's what Sfira is all about. Sfira is not only counting the days, but doing something every day to make the day count. That's really what it's all about. And I'll tell you what the Chofetz Chaim writes. The Chofetz Chaim writes, Umo'oid sorech lizor, you got to be very careful. He writes it, Navas Chesed, Perikid Beis. Shelo yechsa loy midas ha-chesed afilo yoyim echad. There shouldn't be one day that you don't do a favor for another Jew. And then, of course, he says, you have to make sure that you're kaveya itim for Torah every day. Torah and every day chesed. So tonight, I want to show you this little book. We designed this. It's a group of fellow Mr. Goldman from Baltimore, and I, and now there's a guy, Ian Summers in Eretz Yisrael, that's involved in this. So this little book, anyone can buy it for a dollar. We're just charging a dollar because that's what it costs to print them. And in there, what we want every person to do is take the chesed challenge and try to do a chesed for 40 days in a row. And I guarantee you, I'm telling you, it's a guarantee. You do chesed 40 days in a row, you do something for somebody else, your life will change. How do I know this? Because the Pasuk says, Hashem Tzilcha, God is your shadow. You do for others, others do for you. And then, we wrote this book, which matches this. It's a book that I put together, the 10 best chesed stories of all time. From the Maggid books, you have 10 great stories that I picked out from all the various books. If you buy this book and you start doing the chesed, you go to the website, chesedchallenge.com, tell them, and then they'll send you the book. And of course, if you want to buy more than these, you know, to give it out to friends, but everybody, buy one. It's only a dollar. And there's no profit whatsoever. The profit is that it's going to change you. That you're not going to be able to go to sleep before you do a chesed. Now, I know people have been doing this for years. They are the luckiest people in the world. Because they cannot go to sleep no matter where they are until they did something for somebody else. Now, I'm not talking for your child. I was going to say spouse, but this is not the place to talk about your spouse, right? Or your ex-spouse. You don't want to do a favor, right? But the point is, for anybody of your immediate family, we're not talking about that. We're talking call your aunt in a nursing home. Or drive a carpool. Or for those of you listening around the world, if you see a single mom, call them up and ask them if you can help them go shopping for them. That's what it means to think about other people. And I'm telling you, do this 40 days. That's a chesed challenge. And then you can go on the website, thechesedchallenge.com, and we're going to try to make this a worldwide program where people change and make every single day count. That's really what it's all about. Now, I want to tell you one more thing, and then we're going to end with a fabulous story. We said before that Lev Tov is Begamatria 49. Now, you take a look at the end of the Shulchan Aruch, the last words in the Shulchan Aruch. And for this year, it was fabulous, because this year was a leap year. So the Ramah has a question. What do you do the 14th day of Adar in Adar Rishon? 14th day of Adar is Purim. But usually Purim is in the second Adar. What about the first day? Should you make a party or not? So the Ramah says, some say you make a party first day, the first Adar, the 14th day. Some say you don't. Make a party. Toiv Lev Mishta Tamid. A guy who's happy likes a party. That's a pasuk. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. David Shlomo HaMelech writes, Kol Yimei Oni Roim, people that are poverty-stricken in mindset, They're always unhappy. They're not happy if other people have things. They're never happy with what they have. They always think it's not enough. Those are miserable days. Toiv Leiv, a guy who's happy for everybody else, he's happy with what he has. Mishnah Tovah, life's a party. So, Toiv Leiv, right? 49, right? Hey, so we're in party time, right? Toiv Leiv, Mishnah Tovah. So now, listen to what the Shari Tshuva writes on the bottom of that. You got to look it up, I'm telling you. You take a look at it, your Talmud Chochem, you take out a Shari Tshuva, you'll see on the bottom. He says, you know something? This word Tamid, right? This word Tamid, Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid, the Ramah did it for a reason. You know why? Because when he started the Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Aleph, there you go, who said that? Very good, you're right. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. He started with the word Tamid, you got to have Hashem in front of you all the time. And he ended, life's a party. And now listen to the genius, what the Shai Tshuva said. You remember in Yom Tov, what do we say? Ushnei Semidim Kilchasam. That's the two Temidim. That's the two Temidim. Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tamid, Shvizi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Of course, you got to have Hashem in front of you all the time. But life's a party. Enjoy life. I'll tell you now, it's an amazing thing. I'll tell you two Yerushalmis you will not believe. Yerushalmi in Kedushin, Dalet Yud Beis. Osid Adam Liten Din V'Cheshbin. You're going to have to give a Din V'Cheshbin. I'll call Sharos Einai V'Lo Yochal. There was gorgeous food. What do you mean he didn't eat the food? Who did Hashem make it for? I mean, you can't eat all the food in one meal, right? You know what you look like, right? But the point is, of course, there's gorgeous food. Eat it. Enjoy life. You know what it says in Yerushalmi Nedarim Ches Aleph? It's not enough all the chumras that the Torah gave you. Where did the chumra of the month club come from? Life's a party. Enjoy life. Of course, take a look at Masiyas Yesharim, Perek Yud Gimel. He'll tell you how you balance this. You enjoy life, but within the parameters of halacha. But we have to enjoy life. So we come during a time of leiv toiv. Of course, it's a serious time, no question about it. As the B'nai Yisrael tells us, we're trying to go upward. We're trying to achieve and go higher and higher. And so we have the various lessons that we want to learn. The first lesson, as we said, of course, is Rabbi Akiva. You never give up. That's the first lesson. A person has to remember, never give up. We have to love mitzvahs, as we said. This is the hachana for mitzvahs. We have to make sure that every day counts. That's so important to make sure that every day is special. And finally, let's remember we were put in this world to enjoy life. Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. But then, of course, Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. So everybody likes a feel-good story. And, of course, in the period of Leiv Toiv, I want to tell you a story that just happened last week that is absolutely out of this world. I get a call from a prelo in Kew Garden Hills. His name is Dr. Block. And he says to me that he has a friend, Dr. Maldonado. How do you pronounce his name? One second. Maldonado. Maldonado. Dr. Joseph Maldonado, who's becoming a convert. He's becoming a gear. And he says, I want you to know he's very serious. He's really today he's like an Orthodox Jew already. And he has to have Hatafas Dambris. Hatafas Dambris means that if he had already a circumcision as a child, so just a drop of blood is drawn. And he says, you're the Moel, so you could come to the mikvah and you'll do it for him. And then at the Bezdin, he'll go to the mikvah and he'll become a ger. I said, wow, that's amazing. I'd like to call him. I'd like to speak to him, you know, before I do anything. So fine, good. I get to speak to him. And he tells me, I said to him, you know, like... How'd you want to become a ger? How'd you want to become a ger? He said, I'll tell you the truth, Rabbi. I've been studying genealogy, my family's history for years. And I finally realized that my family, way, way back, they were from the conversos. They were from those Spanish Jews that hid their Jewry. Now, I just want to tell you something which is very important. Many people call them Marranos. You're not allowed to call them Marranos. You know why? Does anybody know what Marrano means in Spanish? A pig, or something filthy. So that was a derogatory word that the Spaniards used for Jews. So never use the word Marranos. It's either conversos or anusim. He said, I know my mother used to have certain customs. And then I began to realize these are all Jewish customs. I said, what'd your mother do? He said, well, she never made a cream sauce with a meat platter. I asked her why. She says, I don't know. My mother never did it. She never used an egg that had a blood spot. And this is the most amazing. Every time, he tells me, that his mother sweeps the floor always towards the center of the room, never towards the doorway. I said, what is that? He said, Spanish Jews, listen to this, it's amazing. Spanish Jews, many years ago, they used to sweep the dust out of the house from the front doorway. But Spanish Jews were mocked, but you don't sweep the dust by the doorway because it could go into the mezuzah. The dust could go into the mezuzah. So they always swept towards the middle of the room and then they gathered the dust. I couldn't get over that. Okay, so I said to him, Dr. Maldonado, I said, what Hebrew name do you want to use? Because, you know, when you have, you become a convert, you're a new person. I said, what's your English name? He said, Joseph Raphael. I said, okay, how about Yosef Raphael? I said, okay, I think that, you know, it makes sense. You know, Joseph Raphael, so you'll be Yosef Raphael. He says, okay. I said, but I just want to tell you, you could pick any name you want. You don't have to go with Yosef Raphael because you're a new man. And by the bris and the mikvah, you could choose any name that you like from the Torah or the Gemara, whatever you like. He says, okay, let me think about it. We come to the mikvah, Kew Garden Hills. We're in a private room, me and him. I said, okay, so what did you decide about the name? He said, Rabbi, you know who was the one who inspired me the most? Rabbi Peretz Steinberg from Kew Garden Hills. He's the one who's doing the Geirus. He's one of the people in the Beis Din. I said, yeah, that's very nice. He's a very special person. He said, I know. I want to be named after him. I said, come on, you're joking, right? He's in the other room. He's alive. He said, yeah, that's your problem. You're an Ashkenaz, but I'm a Sfard. I can name after the living. I said, are you serious? We got to call in Rabbi Steinberg. I'm sure he never heard of this. I call in Rabbi Steinberg. The other two, Rabbi, one of them are sitting there, you know, waiting, like, what's going on back there? I said, Rabbi Steinberg, you're not going to believe this, but he wants to be named after you. He said, what are you talking about? We're Ashkenaz. I said, so doctor tells him, yeah, but I'm not. I'm Sfardi. So I can name after you, and you are my hero. You're my icon. You're the one who took me to the Square Rebbe. And he tells me that the Square Rebbe is so beautiful. You see how a Rebbe gives chizah to a person. After Dr. Maldonado told him this whole genealogy and everything that he learned with the menhogim and the sweeping and everything. So the Rebbe says to him, you're not on a journey of conversion. You're on a journey of return. But you should go through the Geirus. Because over the years, there may have been mixed marriages. And over the years, people might have questions. Go through the Geirus. He said, Rebbe, of course, I'll do it. And that's what he did. And finally, we named him, you wouldn't believe, Yosef Peretz Raphael Ben Avraham Avinu. Fine. I go home. That night, I had a speech someplace. My wife calls me in the car. Rabbi Steinberg called. He must speak to you. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what happened? So I said, okay, good. When I come home, I'll call him. I come home. My wife said, did you call him? He called a second time. You got to speak to him. I call him. I said, Rav Peretz, is everything okay? He says, you're not going to believe this. Are you sitting? I said, yeah. He said, listen to this. He said, you remember my parents, right? I remember his father, Rav Shalom, and his mother. Wonderful people. Very big Balei Tzedaka, Alexander Steinberg. So he says, when my parents were married for a number of years, 4 years, they didn't have children. And in those days, if somebody didn't have children, they didn't have medical help like they had today. So it was very sad. They thought they would never have children. He said, I had a grandmother. Her name was Perel Schwartz, Rabbi Steinberg tells me. And she was a big tzaddikus. And she got very sick. And one day when she was sick, she called in my mother and she said, I want you to know you're going to have a son. 2 weeks later, she died. And a few weeks later, my mother was pregnant. And I was the only child that my parents ever had. I am a Ben Yochid. He said, I had a bris on the day of my grandmother's yard site. Because her name was Perel, Pei Reish Lamed. So they said that I should be named Peretz because it has the Pei and the Reish. I said, wow, that's very nice. He said, this afternoon when I came home, and I said to my wife, you know, I was just named after. Somebody named themselves Peretz after me. I took a look at my calendar. Today was my grandmother's yard site. Could you imagine? So this tzaddikus, Perel Schwartz, who was remembered by Peretz Steinberg's bris, was remembered once again, not only by that yard site, but this yard site that happened just last week. And that's what the pasuk says, Zeichet tzaddik levrocha, V'shem Yerushalayim Yirkov. the zecher, the remembrance of a tzaddik, when you keep on giving a tzaddik's name, you always are talking about Shlomo Zalman, you're talking about all the Moshe, all the Yaakov, all the tzaddikim. So their names are always remembered for good. But nobody wants to be named, I don't want to say any name because I don't know what names you have, but after a terrible person, so the name rots. And finally, let's remember what the B'nai Yisrael told us. These days are Lev Tov. We want to bring Achdus. All of you, every single one of you has suffered so much because there was no Achdus. It's not your fault. Whatever, whose ever fault it was, that's not what it's important. Now's the time to get the Lev Tov. Now's the time to begin loving everybody in Klal Yisrael. And if we have these Lev Tov and we climb higher and higher, we'll be zeichen to have the Achdus, to have that Kabbalah HaTorah, so that Hashem should once again see that we are a people of unity, and then bring all of us to Eretz Yisrael. B'mehirah Yameinu, thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.